The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport. Hello, and thank you very much for tuning into episode 2.01 of the Ball Bags podcast. As always, I'm jubilant to be joined by the talents of the coach and the bottom feeder athlete. How are we, gents? Happy New Year.
New season, same bullshit me.
Happy New Year or still here? I'm not sure which.
Okay.
Were you hoping to do the lottery the other night and we'd never have to do a podcast again? I was going to split between three of us, I'm just saying.
I was going to take the money and run.
That's the difference between me and you, isn't it?
Yeah, fair. So we've a lot to get through today, I suppose. Some old staples return from season one. First up, we'll have the Player of the Week in partnership with The Athletic. Just a subtle reminder to make 2022 the year you take your understanding of the game to the next level. Click the link in the podcast description for 1 month free access to The Athletic. Next up, we've got the main segment, Agree to Disagree. We're going around the houses this week. I'll personally take a deep dive into some of the more recent trades and transfers, but from a slightly different angle. The bottom feeder athlete will have a look at the fallout from Super Wildcard Weekend. And the coach, we're not exactly sure, I suppose, what the coach is going to do, but I'm sure it'll be special anyway, so make sure you stay tuned. And finally, we close out the proceedings with this week's Have You Seen This? In partnership with usasports.co.uk. Again, link in the bio. Heads up, Cowboys fans, after Sunday, I would say Dak Prescott jerseys are going half price. So without much further ado, bottom feeder athlete, just who was your player of the week and why?
And it's always going to come back to this, isn't it? But it was definitely Josh Allen in the Bills' rampant win on the weekend. That looked like a lot of pent-up aggression, like abuse of divisions that New England have ruled for the last how long?
Yeah.
But five touchdowns, and look, he looked different the other night. I think like he looked like he was elevating a little bit more. But the thing with Dak is, or not Dak, the thing with Josh is, he's a real opportunity now to try and to really get after Mahomes next weekend. So that's obviously I think that's the game next weekend that everyone will want to be tuning into. So he'll either get it done now. But for this week, I thought he was immense. Yeah, so he's my vote.
Okay, coach
Bill's Mafia. I am going with Jarrod Bowen. I suppose we've obviously been off air, you know, over Christmas or whatever. I think he's had a great Christmas, great winter break or great winter schedule, and then the last two weekends. I know they obviously lost to Leeds the weekend just gone, but he did play a good game. Jack Harrison, well, obviously very unfortunate to miss out on this one for me. But yeah, Jarrod Bowen did score against Leeds, and then he scored two the previous week. He's actually got 4-3 now. Obviously he's been linked to a couple of clubs, heavily with Liverpool. Don't know if it's the right fit. I like them, obviously a Liverpool fan, and I think he's a great player. I'm just not 100% sure if it's the right fit at this moment in particular time. But yeah, I think he's been phenomenal for West Ham. Like, you take him out, they probably lose a few points by him on the side. He's really picked up the slack when Antonio hasn't been scoring, I think. But yeah, he seems like a proper engine. He kind of that, quite similar, I think, to John McGinn, possibly. I just don't know where he fits. I don't know what his next move is. If there is, yeah. Like, some people have said to me West Ham is probably his ceiling. But I think he could probably push on again. I just don't know where. Like, I don't see him in a Liverpool shirt. I don't see him in a City shirt. Probably see him in a United shirt. He's that player that'll get around everywhere. I don't think he'd be a great addition.
Careful.
Arsenal, I could probably see him at as well. I don't see him going abroad, but yeah, I just, West Ham's a funny situation, aren't they? Because they're not quite a Champions League club and they're not in a bottom half of the table.
You could see him at Spurs.
Spurs, I could see him at, yeah.
Which would rile the West Ham fans out there.
But one thing's for sure, he'll be on the next The Only Way Is Essex or something, won't he? So.
I don't know how embarrassing now, to be honest with you, so I can't comment. For me, and look, I'm going to get impaled on this, but for me it was Jimmy Garoppolo. And the reason is not a phenomenal sporting performance, but I just feel, based on the situation that man has been in this year in San Francisco and how he's reacted, he's shown not just the NFL but the sports world like an absolute masterclass in how to behave as a professional athlete. Like, it's obvious that his time in San Francisco is over after the final snap this season.
I'd argue,
but he's not. How would you argue against it?
I don't think Trey Lance is going to be ready to do a full slate of games next year. I think he's one more year there.
Potentially, but I mean, the narrative all season has been, where does Jimmy go next season? And he's handled that with absolute class. Bear in mind what would have gone on previously when he was in New England. And the head coach wanted him as the replacement, but the owner didn't.
Yeah.
So he's shown exactly how he treated it. I think when Trey Lance's first touchdown, he actually was quite like adamant and like hugging him and stuff like that. And his press conferences have always been brilliant. So I just think, compare him to the sound bites we get in the Premier League of rehearsed lines and stuff like that, I just think he's been absolutely phenomenal this year. So he deserved the playoff win. And I probably needed the Cowboys to lose that after the Eagles game, but we'll get to that later. So if you had to pick one, gents, who is it and why?
I'd probably have to say Josh Allen, and also feel like he will probably I think it's going to be a great game this weekend. I don't want to say it too much, but I do think it will be a great game. And same. I think you know where my feeling is.
I'd probably give it to Josh as well. I'm happy to
pass to Josh.
I just thought Jimmy deserved a mention, that's all. Anyway, so the main segment, gents, agree to disagree. We're recording this, we were kind of late back in the saddle after the new year, so this episode is going to air on the 19th of January. With that in mind, it would mean it's precisely 23 days until the NBA trade deadline, 10th of Feb, and 13 days until the transfer deadline in association football on the end of the month, 31st. With all this in mind, it got me thinking, should we as fans impose a minimum time period before reacting to a trade or a transfer? And I've bought a few kind of busts that at the beginning of the trade, they were kind of labelled in the media as wins for the respective sides. So one's after half a season, one's a full season, and then the last is multiple seasons. Just to get the cogs turned, and then I'll come back to you with a question at the end. So the first one for me is Danny Ings. Signed for Villa last summer, $35.2 million. And everyone, us included, said, that's brilliant business by Villa. It was very quiet. A half season in, he's played 15 games, 13 starts, and he's provided 4 goals. It's a scoring frequency of a goal every 278 minutes. His 2 seasons post-signing at Southampton, not including the loan spell, 2019-2020, 38 games, 22 goals, or a goal every 128 minutes. And then 2020-2021 season, 29 games, 12 goals, or a goal every 182 minutes, all for $22.2 million. Currently, Southampton obviously are one place and one point above Villa. That can change, obviously, I understand, with Gerrard now in place. So 6 months in, to me, that's not the deal it was in the summer when it was done. Second one, very, very biased, but I'm going to have to throw it out there. A season in, Carson Wentz, seen by many as the piece to take the Colts over the precipice, given the immense talent on that roster. And owing to the fact that he accounted for $33.82 million of the Eagles' salary cap this past season, the Eagles were lambasted. Fast forward a full regular season, Carson Wentz took a team from 11-5 and in the playoffs to 9-8 and out of the playoffs. Obviously, we all know after that loss to the worst team in the league on Week 18. In stark contrast, and I'm sure you're going to nail him pretty soon, bottom feeder athlete, but Jalen Hurts took a limited side from 4-11 and the bottom of the NFC East of all places to a 9-8 finish and a playoff berth. To me right now, $33.82 million in dead cap space was a bargain. And the final one, I could have gone for maybe this summer's blockbuster trade, but Anthony Davis, the Lakers. In advance of the 2019-2020 season, he was targeted as being the face of the organization when LeBron left. And it just isn't going to pan out that way. Statistically speaking, 2019-2020 season, he played 62 games, averaged 26.1 points, 9.3 rebounds, and 3.2 assists as they sealed the title in the Orlando bubble. Second season, 2020-21 season, he played 36 times, averaged 21.8 points, 7.8 rebounds, and 3.1 assists. And this season, and we do have a decent sample size at this stage of the season, he's played just 27 times, averaging 23.3 points, 9.9 rebounds, and 2.9 assists. So the numbers are fairly consistent across the three seasons. The issue with Davis is we know what we're going to get from him on the floor. We just don't know when we'll see him on the floor. A dominant big, he is not. So with those three in mind, I have two questions. First one, what is the minimum amount of time we should give a transfer or trade before labeling it as a bust or a blockbuster?
I think a season. One full season.
One full season?
Yeah, so just because obviously you have the January window as well, so I think like if you bring someone in January, like judging them in May is not, do you know what I mean? It's not great. You give them till, I'd probably give them the full following season in that case. Otherwise, August till the full calendar year then. So I think a full season, yeah.
Coach?
It's a really funny one because if if you look at someone like Coutinho, like he's been put in a position not his own doing. He's not a flop because of himself. Like even if you look at say Fred at United, probably is a better example. Since he's come in from the position he played, he hasn't played there once for United. So to put a time frame on it, it's like, Is that like United looking at him going, well, no, he's definitely not a 10 slash striker because of something they've seen in training. And all of a sudden, he doesn't control his own narrative anymore. So I think it's a player who controls his own narrative. Let's take Danny Ings, for example. He's never really been played out of position. He's like, he's always, so I suppose you could call him, you could call time on him after 6 months. If you're there, like if he was there for 3 years but was played left back, good, can you call him a flop or can you call him a dud or whatever? You can't really, like, so. Well, that's why I feel like the whole of media and sports and United fans are harsh on Phil Coutinho at the moment, because he probably wasn't given his fair dues at Barcelona. He was made a scapegoat. So I think if you're in your role, 6 months is probably enough time.
Okay, and are we saying it's situation by situation, but it definitely shouldn't be the day of the signing?
No, it definitely shouldn't be the day of the signing. Yeah, no.
Ings, I think, is going to get a lot more goals now as well, though, really, isn't he? Like, with Digne as well. Ings. Like, I think Ings is going to have...
I think Ollie Watkins is a better striker and a better option for Villa.
I agree, but I think Ollie Watkins is one of those players that I do see at a Northern club in the near future.
Very specific Northern club, is it?
No, I don't think so. I see him making his way north to one of probably four clubs. Either it's one of the Manchester clubs, Liverpool, or Newcastle. Because
fuck off, he's not good enough to play for either United or City.
Oh, I think he is.
He's not. Sorry, I think he is. Fuck off, either. But fuck off with that.
I think if you look at Liverpool, Liverpool are lacking a plan B at the moment. It looks like Origi will be out the door. And I think they need a plan B. Or he's
probably said
B
that
anyways.
Every season for the last three seasons, though.
I know. He's a legend. We've never come up with it.
He always gets good pay packages, so, doesn't he? I'd love to see
him. He's a Liverpool legend and a killer.
Just when you think he's gone, he'll bang in a goal that means so, so much.
Yeah. But you hate that he's a Liverpool legend, don't you?
Saturday night. But, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And my second question was, I suppose, I've listed three at this moment in time are busts. But if you had to pick a recent trade or transfer, I'd say anything in the last 2 years that you believe will come right. Who is it and why? And they could right now be a bust.
Phil Coutinho. I have to stick to my guns there. But I don't know. Is like, I have this thing that he's going to unbelievably perform at Villa and go back to Barca and be a star, or still be made out to be the scapegoat to be a star in the Premier League at someone else. But I think he was given a raw deal. But yeah, Coutinho for me is going to come good again.
I would like to think that Sancho will eventually, it's kind of, I think Sancho will be fine in the long term, definitely. I know there's a few people saying like it looks like a waste of money already, but I think he'll be fine.
Can I actually ask you a question about Peter on Harry Maguire? Like, is that, like, how long has he been there now? 4 years?
It's this season, would it be? 4, I think, yeah.
So as a United fan, is he a bust, or like, is it someone that you need to keep?
Like, that's appalling, carry on.
But I mean, is that, would you say it's like, is it 9 out of 10 United fans want rid of him? Is it 10 out of 10? Is it,
like, you look at Harry, right, and you just look that man in his eyes, and you can clearly see, like, that he's incompetent. Like, he's always been incompetent.
Yeah,
and it's not his fault he's incompetent. That's just the way he was putting this out.
Well,
and it was my argument. It was my argument. Fault to pay the $80 million for him. No, I'm not done.
My argument. Right, go on. That's how you let you go.
Fuck that. He is a bust, but it's not his fault he was a bust. It's the club's fault. $80 million for Harry. Are you seriously? Like, of course I'd take that money and be like, yeah, I'm a good centre back. I could play centre back for United, no bother. You get found out game after game, you're a fraud. Like, whose fault is it really? It's not his.
Yeah. He was an open headed type of player, wasn't he?
He played in that back three with Leicester though. Like, they were able to cover him up a bit better.
Yeah, but a back three is played when you can't defend.
That's a fact, yeah. That's exactly
and what. Whoa. It's when you're good at attacking, lads. Come on.
Yeah, but you can't defend.
When your wing backs can't defend then either, is it?
let me throw you this out to you, right? So if Harry Maguire, and by extension you basically just said he was a bust from a signing perspective, as in it shows a complete understanding of Harry Maguire's game. United, the way they've bought him and where they've played him and made him captain, but they went for a big name. Does that show a lack of understanding in the United upper management of what football is? And second part, can you really label him a bust when all he's done is play the same football he played elsewhere when he arrived?
The right football people weren't there at the time to make that decision. I think it's fair.
If the right football people were there, Johnny Evans would be in a Man United shirt. Again.
Yeah, just like they didn't have the right people there. He plays the same. Like, he's just a panic machine. Like, do you ever see a boy getting bound into the corner there in a Sunday league match and he's fretting? That's like him on TV. Like, you can't make it up. Like, it's shocking. But look, I don't think it's his fault. I'm probably being a bit hard on him. I probably shouldn't have called him incompetent either. I'm sure he's competent in many areas of his life, just not a football pitch.
Headbutt Greek policeman. Oh well, look, if we're going to be biased on our bus calls, which, why didn't I say Aaron Ramsdale? Given the narrative about him when he signed for us, but look, why don't we stick a pin in that one?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And I'll hand you over to the bottom feeder, Atleast. Who's going to talk us through Super Wildcard Weekend?
Did you watch any of the Wildcard games? Did you watch the Wildcard games?
Only highlights for me, buddy.
Yeah. So, obviously, there's going to be a bit of fallout from the Patriots, the Eagles, the Cowboys. And you know what? If we recorded a day later, I'd 100% be hammering Arizona now as well. But just on Arizona, I think, like, they're a year away from really being criticised. Like, they clearly have the right man at quarterback. I think it could be just a head coach issue there. But again, like, they've fallen off the cliff the last two seasons. Like, at the tail end of the year. A stronger finish this year for Arizona, and they're not getting trampled by the Rams there. I didn't think that game would be that far off the pace now.
Kyler Murray was woeful last night.
He was awful.
So I don't know if you can say that's on coaching. He couldn't hit DeAndre Hopkins, who is one of the most talented wide receivers in the league.
Is it Kingsbury's responsibility to make sure that they're prepared for the first playoff game and just looked fucking lost?
Well, you can get players as prepared as you want, but sometimes people freeze in the moment.
Yeah. So the first Slayton, and it's probably the least damaging Slayton, is actually your lovely Eagles team.
Come on, hit me up.
So they have 3 first round picks this year. They are all in the mid-teens. And there's talk, obviously, about the Eagles wanting to change their quarterback from Hurts to somebody else. And Hurts could be viewed as a trade chip in this as well. But, so I'm going to ask you, just real quickly, like, who's the quarterback you want?
Well, it's no one from the draft class.
No, but who is the quarterback? Just give me the one you want. Tell me the dream one that you want.
Right now, for the next 5 years, Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
Absolutely.
If you had said Deshaun, I would have said there's no way that those mid-teen picks were going to do the trade justice there now, and that he was going to there, barring the legal trouble that he's already in as well.
Which is gathering speed.
Gathering speed.
I don't know if you've seen over the weekend, there's been emails leaked of him attempting to pay off 3 to 4, I think, of his witnesses. So it's never a good sign when that's...
Yeah, I think you have to put the pin in Deshaun for the foreseeable future anyways, no matter how talented he is. The Wilson trade, I think, with the mid-teen picks and probably Hurts going back as well, is enough to get him.
Yeah, it's a franchise that needs to blow themselves up.
Now, the top 10 picks would make more of a difference here. But 3 mid-teen picks on Hurts, I think it would go. They've also $30 million in cap space, projected to have a bit more if they can cut a few more players. So look, they are in the least kind of bad spot. But if you watch Hurts on the weekend, like, can't make throws over the middle of the field. He's a player that does a few bits, as we like to say. He does bits.
I'd say the same thing about Mac Jones as I would say about Jalen Hurts. I get it, they're both young. It's both their... I know Jalen Hurts played a little bit last season, but it's both men's first full season. But the ceiling did not look too high over the weekend. I say that for Mac Jones, and I say that for...
Hurts.
Say for both. I think Hurts, sorry to go crash there, is what we kind of knew he was, and we kind of... It's a very untalented roster, and you've got to bear in mind how big we went on Wentz and how that blew back in our face. We're a year removed from that whole fiasco. We lost Doug Peterson. We lost Carson Wentz. Like, to get what we got out of the season was brilliant.
Yeah, like, I don't want to be hammering a fella like Hurts as well, when he's clearly, you know, he's probably at a ceiling now. But I want to know if they decide to just roll it out now next year with Hurts, dump the 3 first round picks into weapons for him, say. Is the ceiling a little bit more, and you give him 1 more year of development, and then if it doesn't work, he's got to go. You're probably sitting in the top 10 of the draft that year, and you might be able to get a quarterback then. And you've already got the infrastructure around him then.
I'll tell you why. I know he's been injured a bit, but our number one running back at present is Miles Sanders. He's due an extension at the end of the summer. I don't think he's worth it. I think he's underrated. I think he's in that Chris Carson, David Montgomery class, that he's a good running back, but he's not worth tying up money. a mid-teens pick to me is a good running back.
It's a bell cow now.
An absolute bell cow on a low contract. Potentially need to cut Jalen Reagor, Quez Watkins, JJ Ortega Whiteside. Do you shore up the O-line? Jason Kelce is, like, maybe you can go in the second round and go for a project, because you will get another season out of Jason Kelce. But his time is limited.
You can also look at free agency with the cash for veteran
and if you go for if you go for a quarterback, you lose that cap space. Like, Jalen Hurts is still on his rookie contract, and we've another season of that. So I'd run him to the ground and see how we go with talent, if that makes sense. Like, I'd rather be in, say, a Denver situation right now.
Yeah, but the name in is which, pulling Aaron Rodgers there, really, isn't it? Like, do you want to be a Broncos quarterback like John Elway, Peyton Manning? Like, I actually think that holds a lot of weight.
No, but I mean, the Broncos, that roster is stacked. It's just sans a quarterback.
Yeah.
And they were competitive in arguably the toughest division in the NFL.
If Rodgers goes there, it's fucking different ball game that division next year again.
If he goes, Herbert will never play a playoff game in his life.
Right, yeah. Now, on to... look, the Eagles are in a bit of a pickle, but they have a lot of solutions to get out of it. So, unfortunately, I don't think the evil empire can be said of the same. Rumour has it Mac Jones hasn't been seen alive since Bill probably killed him. He's totally going to... Did you see Bill's press conference after the...
What's the cap space on a dead quarterback?
Probably Carson Wentz money. Because he's essentially dead. So that's kind of just due to comparison.
Fair.
If you'd seen the press conference with Bill after that smattering, that was awful. About 10 words, and that was that. But the Patriots looked very slow. Defense is very uncharacteristic for Belichick-led defense. I don't know. So, like, they've their first round pick, which is obviously going to be in the mid to late this round, the first round, and I don't think they're going to get a difference maker there to help Mac out.
Plus, Belichick has proven he can't draft skill positions.
No, and they threw a lot of money at the position, like skill positions last year, like Hunter Henry. But I don't think. Like, they've
Hunter Henry was good in the regular season. Like, I think he earned his contract.
They've roughly the same amount of space the Eagles, sitting kind of $30 million. It's obviously subject to change, but Cam Newton's $1.5 million, and they have, you know, projected the cuts as well. You could see where that ends up. But
does Bill make a play at Jimmy G?
No, I wouldn't think so. I don't want to dog Garoppolo. Like, Garoppolo is a very steady quarterback. He's obviously made a run at the Super Bowl already, and, you know, there's no reason why they couldn't make another run now. How much of an upgrade is Jimmy over Mac next year? A full offseason for Jones.
The question is, what does, like, Belichick obviously rated Garoppolo highly.
Yeah, I think it's drastic. I think the changes in New England are going to be drastic. I think he blows it all up. Any of those players that are still remaining from the Super Bowl, I think, are gone.
Who's left?
They have five, and that's about it. Like, the defense is too slow. It is too slow. They need speed at linebacker, big time. Obviously, Matthew Judon was a resounding success, but they don't have enough. So, to be honest, I would have thought he was going to walk away from it. But I think, look, one more drastic rebuild, retool, one season, and that's it, I think. And it'll all depend on Jones in season two.
Fair. Okay.
And the last one is the Cowboys, which is
the most embarrassing loss in the wildcard round.
Oh, fucking appalling. McCarthy should be gone.
He won't be.
Prescott does need a fair share of criticism. I know he was injured for parts of the year, but he's been way too up and down. And I think we give him a bit of a pass because he smashed the ankle up last year and everyone kind of loves him. I think he's actually due for a bit more of a smattering now. Like, I think.
Well, They couldn't get the run game going.
Lots of teams can't get the run game going, and they're fucking airing it all over the yard this year. Like, do you know, where's the Rams' run game this year?
It was good last night.
Yeah. Well, this is it. So look, Dallas have one pick as well in the first round. Their cap space is actually fucked. So they're going to be relying on the draft, and they need safeties. They also need someone to put beside Parsons, and they need big linemen.
Fair. I don't want to like lean in on the Cowboys because it's biased.
Lean in.
Not only can Mike McCarthy not clock manage, he can't coach, he can't call plays. Dak Prescott hasn't got the wherewithal. How many seasons in? To say a quarterback draw with no timeouts and 14 seconds remaining needs to be audible.
I think he knows McCarthy's shite as well, just for the record.
So did he hang him out? Did he blow a playoff game? No, he didn't. Like, regardless of who your coach is, you want to win that game. You're the only division winner who lost in Wild Card Weekend.
And none of us were surprised. For good reason. Not one of us were surprised.
No one was surprised. It's easier to predict a Cowboys collapse than it is to predict an Antonio Brown outburst. And that's saying something.
Yeah. I kind of want heads. Like, they have too much in the skill positions, especially, to be doing that shit in a game against
Joint 25th in playoff wins in the last quarter of a century.
That list.
Joint 25th.
That list was the Chargers were only about 3 spots above that, so I won't comment on that piece. But, like, I don't know. Like, you give me one coach in your head right now who'll turn that around in one season if they get rid of McCarthy. And I think they should. I think he has to go. Flores?
One, I would say there's a few coaches that could turn it around.
Flores and keep Kellen Moore, because Kellen Moore is going to get, I think it's only a matter of time now before he gets an interview for a head gig as well.
Yeah, but would you be interviewing Kellen Moore based on that QB draw?
Look, they all get one, don't they? Like, some degree. Like, some very undeserving candidates get it. We were talking about that earlier, you know what I mean?
I give Dougie P a call
for the Cowboys job.
Yeah, he turned the Eagles around fairly quick. He turned them back around, but
it was maintaining it then afterwards.
Yeah, that was his issue. And writing books after one Super Bowl win.
And having Wentz in the roster probably didn't help with that stage either.
Well, the season we won a Super Bowl, Wentz was an MVP candidate before he did his ACL. Don't at me, because he was.
He probably would have won it.
Yeah. Anyway, I think poor coach is falling asleep.
Yeah, he's out of touch.
Is he alive? He's busy playing footy with himself for the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, boy. What's up?
Not a lot. What's the special treat you have for us tonight?
So, yeah, look, I suppose we've all probably seen over the last 24, 48 hours links of, I suppose, Christian Eriksen possibly signing for Brentford on a 6-month deal with an option on his side of an extra 1 year, which would be an incredible, I suppose, turnaround for him and what he's come from. Obviously, we all remember the fortunate or unfortunate event, whichever way you want to look at it, of him suffering a cardiac arrest during Denmark's European Championship game against Finland in Copenhagen last June. But obviously, medics were on the scene and managed to resuscitate him, which was thankfully before he was transferred to hospital. But I suppose he underwent an operation to have an implantable cardioverter defibrillator, okay? And when he returned to Inter Milan...
A what?
A cardioverter defibrillator, an ICD for you or me.
Say it one more time there.
An implantable cardioverter defibrillator. So Eriksen now has this fitted inside his chest, obviously. But while his contract with Inter Milan, I suppose, remained, the Italian FA do not allow for this, for a player with this to play in the league. So I suppose his contract was terminated on that behalf of both of them. So he obviously can't play in Italy anywhere. With that in mind, obviously there's a few English clubs have been kind of sniffing around him. I know he had been training with Odense in Denmark, in his home. I think it's probably his home club or close enough to his home club. But yeah, he's worked under Thomas Frank with Denmark 17s for an underage setup for 4 or 5 years. So I want to know, number one, if you were in his shoes, is it something that you would want to go back and do? And number two, if you were, and this may sound harsh, maybe might be the word, if you were a Brentford either board member or fan, would you like to see Christian Eriksen playing for your club? Is that something you'd want? If it be with your own respective clubs, United or Arsenal, is it the right decision, I suppose?
Well, if he's medically cleared, well,
so let's
England,
take the first one first.
Cleared. I'm not going to begrudge a fella if he wants to. Like, that's his choice, and if he's clearance to play, let him play.
And would you play?
Would I?
Well, he wants to play.
Well, I'm not getting paid. No,
would you play?
A week? Like, I guarantee, if I was, I'd be playing.
Yeah, but do you not think, right? You're 29 years of age. You've got your money made. Like, you've enough to live
but
off.
We don't have enough.
I know
money.
We do things
know.
For.
Like, there's always more. Like, I don't mean to sound hungry about it, but like.
An implanted cardiovascular ligogram sounds expensive.
More money.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, you're talking generational wealth here.
But if you're doing it for money, I would. If it was me and you're doing it for money, I don't think it's the right decision to go in for. If you're doing it for your passion, then look, that's going to be your day to day to get you by. As in,
did anyone ask
you know,
what
to keep you out of depression
for?
Or whatever? Well, not yet. No.
Like, do you know what? Like, everyone is like, "Oh, Christian should quit. Should stop." I mean, like, it's hard to tell lads that are ingrained in football like that. Like, that enough is enough. Do you know? Like, that's
my assumption would be that Italian doctors, given the laws of the Italian FA, are probably saying, look, you probably shouldn't go back and play. And because you're out in England, the English doctors are probably saying, yeah, you'd be all right. That would be my assumption, just given the league standings.
Like, if he's cleared and he wants to play, and by God, like, have you seen our midfield? I'd take him. No bother. On a flyer, just saying, not giving him 100 grand a week, but like 25? Come on. Let's go.
Well, a couple of things is at play. Like, some leagues that have some pretty bizarre rules. Like, I don't know much about heart health or anything like that, but like, take a rugby example. Look at Ian Keatley. Couldn't play rugby in Ireland because of his goggles.
Mm. He could play in Italy, no bother though.
Could play in Italy and could get capped for Italy. Just couldn't play against Ireland. Like, and I'm not comparing a pair of goggles to, I know, goggles is obviously down playing as well, to what Christian Eriksen went through, but he has obviously been passed fit to play by a specialist. It's not his mom who's saying, "I go on, Christian, go play." And if he's going to sign for a club, they're going to put him through potentially the most rigorous medical
ever
in football in history, because they can't not. They're too liable. Can you imagine a player dropping in a Premier League
after
football
this,
after what happened last summer? The same player happened again. Like, there's no coming back from that in terms of credibility. And look, Brentford as well have a huge Danish connection.
It'd be funny actually to see, you'd assume, if it does go ahead, the Brentford insurance premium is going up, isn't it? It's rocketing up.
He definitely won't play all the games either, in fairness. Like, you can see, I could definitely see him coming back, but on the caveat that, like, you're capped at, say, 20 games per season.
Or they put him on a Ledley King contract.
Yeah. But that would see him back at Tottenham. I don't see why Tottenham wouldn't take him back if that was the case. Like, so, like, let's be honest, Tottenham is an entertainment team now. It's not. They're not there for championships. They're not there for...
Who's entertained me?
Well, it's
who's
entertained? In London.
No,
it's for the people in London, though, isn't it? That, you know, let's...
Fair enough you said that
footy.
About Leeds,
probably,
but...
Yeah. It's just like Prawn Sandwich Brigade, like, type job. Is that what you're saying Tottenham is?
Not even... No, I think it's more of a tourist attraction.
Fuck, jeez, you've gone all
like, you want to see a soccer game in London? So you go to...
Spurs.
Yeah. That's, for me, that's what it is. It's like... the tourists don't go to Manchester, because if they did, it'd be Man City, but they don't. So that's why they've got this ground, and they've just got the NFL, and they've...
But anyways, look, digress.
Is this the Cope? Is this the Cope stand?
I heard a rumor you get COPD if you sit here. But
anyway,
it's said, yeah, look, I suppose if you were in his shoes, would you do it?
Yeah, 100%.
If that's what my passions were, yeah.
Yeah, that and that and the amount of money, look.
I'd go into the punditry. You can't be any worse than Robbie Keane. Listen to Robbie Keane on a fucking Sunday.
But like, he's obviously consulted with his wife. He's obviously consulted with his medical team. Like, he obviously, it's an educated decision. He hasn't just woke up and goes, do you know what?
I'm feeling it.
Do you know what I want to do? I want to lob balls into Ivan Toney. I'm going to get that fella back in form. Sign me up.
If you did get an 85-75% fit Ericsson at Brentford, I think it'd be a massive coup.
Very interesting to watch how they'd play about him, wouldn't it? That'd be fun. I'd actually think it'd be enticing.
He also brings in a wealth of experience too, as well. So he, like, in terms of like big club exposure,
well, he'd be the best. Not a lot of those players have ever, like,
oh, to date.
I don't know, Jonathan Douglas or there's a few there, like, there's a few big names there.
He just paused and then he was like, well, maybe I don't want to smoke in this one, I might just let this one
die. there are a few big names if you played Football Manager for copious amounts of hours. Other than that, they're not what you call household names. But yeah. I just think culturally he could be great, because he'd bring the experience of an Inter Milan, he'd bring the experience of, do you know what I mean, all these big clubs around Europe. So, yeah. If I'm Brentford and I believe it's right and we've done our homework, then yes, I'd sign him. Like, it's not as if they're asking him to come play five-a-side with Jimmy and the lads and there's that amount of preparation going into it. Like, it's professional organisations that are intelligent.
It'll be very interesting to see. Do you see it happening? There's no smoke without fire, as they say, I suppose.
Without fire. They're probably investigating it. They're probably in the middle of doing their homework to see if this is...
It'll be a last I'm day assuming deal, if, I think, though, won't it? Like, they'll give it the whole month. They'll write that out for the whole month.
Hold on a minute. He's no contract.
Yeah, he can just sign.
He can just sign whenever.
I know, but when I say that, as in, like, they're going to take time, like, the full month to make that decision. I can't see them doing it, like, with 10 days left in the window, just in case.
In case someone else does. But, like, everyone else in the same situation. The thing for me with Brentford is, obviously, he has, if you were to go to Brentford, any player, you do have that luxury of 23s football, which is, B-team football, I should say, which is a game. Okay, they play games every week, but they have their mini tournaments kind of every month that they go to, and they play a selection of teams and stuff. So I think that's probably a luxury where there's no, what's the word? Not stress, but pressure is obviously to a lesser extent. And it might give them the 6 months to play for the B team, and then that's when that year might kick in, just to get him a little bit match fit. Because obviously, probably, I'd imagine he hasn't played an 11-a-side match or any to any intensity, great intensity. Like.
Yeah. So.
But it does give him a good standard of a friendly game, I suppose.
Who else is in for him?
Non-competitive. It just says, the article just says 3 or 4 teams, with Brentford obviously being the one that sticks out, like, or have spoken
That's
to him.
Fair.
It doesn't name any other. It just says, more Premier League teams. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Tottenham were probably talking to him. It wouldn't shock me if Newcastle were talking to him.
Imagine Newcastle became the richest club in the world and then killed the player on the pitch.
Newcastle would shock me. If there's any brains in the board, it would shock me, because they need players quick.
He's not.
And they need short-term fixes. They need to be in the Premiership next season. It's all well and good thinking you're going to win the Champions League in 10 years' time, but you need to be in the Premiership next season.
It's a big ask.
It's a big ask.
Eddie Howe's under pressure as well for me.
Oh God,
yeah. Eddie Howe is going to be like, have you seen The Dissident on the Amazon Prime? No. Eddie Howe is The Dissident. He goes to the chairman's house and he's never seen again. That's how it's going to go. I'm telling you now. There'd be a Netflix documentary about this.
I know, he rocked on and just said, fuck it, I'm going to compare Eddie Howe to The Dissident, and Brentford is going to take over the back end of the podcast. Class. You have a huge...
Yeah, it's not a good... Bit of foreshadowing for season two to come. Is it?
This is where Sasha, hand back over to you. I'll hand back over to you. I can't.
Yeah, look, we call
Eddie Hale, the dissident. Coming to a screen near you.
Dissident. He's up the north, isn't he? Yeah, look, I think we'll leave the main segment there. It's short, it's sharp, it's sweet. We're back to business. We're back in the flow of things. The last bit to kind of bring to you is, have you seen this? Anyone else happy to take this, or you want me to jump through it?
Like, I know obviously I threw it in there, but I think you probably have more knowledge of it.
Oh, Jesus, that's a stretch. So, well, look, unless you've been living under a rock, I suppose, you've heard of the metaverse and Mark Zuckerberg, but the Brooklyn Nets last night launched the Netaverse, which is basically, how I describe it here, we'll put the link in the podcast description, but it is a fully 3D dimensional view of a game of basketball life. It's got a few like glitches, I suppose, is the best way to describe it right now, but the potential for this for international fans of any sport, or for even just the fan experience from home, is phenomenal. And I think in 5 years' time, this could be something to definitely put Sky under
a
bit of pressure.
The concept of it is great. It's just, imagine being some sad fucker that uses it to go watch a Knicks game.
Obviously, never been to the Mecca, the gardens.
He's
but look.
Just like, he didn't look at his face at all. He's just like, no, that's it.
Well, you could do it to watch a Chargers game when the stadium's empty anyway.
I'll jab him, so he's gonna jab me back.
I think it will be much cooler in the NFL. You know, when you can kind of come in behind the quarterback type of thing. But basketball is just too end-to-end for me for it to work.
How close does it get you in on the, just out of curiosity, like in an NBA game? Because obviously, like,
mate, the link was in the WhatsApp group chat. Like, it literally was in the WhatsApp group chat. Not even 12 hours ago. Like, it really is that simple.
12 hours a lot.
There's no reason, though. Like, if you think about it, like, they used 100 cameras. If you think, like, even if they just, in the Premier League, got, you know, the one that hangs over the pitch? If you had access to that camera alone, that'd be pretty phenomenal.
But I think the thing about this is you control the angles, is what I kind of grasp from it. So,
yeah, correct, yeah.
Like, that's a whole new...
You're effectively a drone over the basketball court, is pretty much best way to describe it.
You're effectively a fly on the pitch. Like, effectively, yeah. You are a fly. Look, the lens they're going through with sports technology these days, it's just phenomenally interesting. But
you're right, though, but I the graphics and stuff just aren't there yet. It almost looks like NBA 2K or whatever on PlayStation, kind of.
2K4, maybe. Well, that's an exaggeration. But... No, like, watch it and tell me you don't see the
potential
scope for this down the line. Potential down the line.
Yeah.
But look, gents, we're happy to call it there. Some of us are training, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that's all for me.
That's all for me.
Thank you, and good night.